right, let's open to Hebrews. And again, just to recap, if you're just joining us, we haven't gotten too far. I was kind of teasing we were going to do Hebrews in a month or something, but Lord knows, we got through a little bit of the second chapter last week. But again, this is a letter from Paul to the Jewish Christians. And those were very dear people to him because he was from that group. And he loved them so and had a great burden for them. And I appreciate that the Lord had him write this, because there is so much truth in this. And as we get into it, and I so appreciate my uncle bringing me so much material on these things, so many different books, writings and all. And you could never even scratch the surface with the Word of God. I hope we understand that. And we can never exhaust it. We couldn't exhaust one verse. And by the grace of God, when the Lord has me study, I do feel inadequate and insufficient. But I know that He is able. And I know that there is no way that we could pull everything out of this, and there will be the ages to come to get it. But I know that He's revealed us great things at this time. And by the grace of God, I appreciate Brother Copley. I think I mentioned this, I don't know if to all of you, but he had, when I was studying this for the Bible study, I really thought the Lord was going to have me in the first, second, and third of John. And it seemed appropriate because that's what I was in the class across the way. But it was just sovereign. You're going to do Hebrews. And I thought, okay, we can do Hebrews. I love Hebrews. Studied it a few times and in class over the years, and it's been wonderful. And then as I started really delving into it, I thought, wow, this is interesting. Of all the books that have been written on by the, Brother Copley and Sister Bodie and all these different ones, this is the least written on book. And I thought, oh, that's great. But because Brother Copley, in the first chapter of Hebrews, he's got one paragraph. I don't know if you have that book on Hebrews. And then second and third of Hebrews, I think he has two paragraphs. But you know what he says in that one sentence or two in those things? You could write books and books, but that man saw it. Amen. That's such a precious thing. But again, getting into Hebrews, we saw in the first chapter of Hebrews that this is, again, the introduction of Jesus Christ to these Jews again. And in the very first chapter, the third verse, he goes in and he says that Jesus obviously was crucified and he is the Christ, and he was purged, or he purged our sins on that cross. And it goes on to talk about in that first chapter how he was made better than the angels. Eighth verse of that first chapter, I think, is one of the highlights of it. Again, just so personal. How God refers to Christ as God. If you don't think it's an awesome God that we serve, you've missed it. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is what this whole thing is wrapped up in, we've missed it. And it is so precious that we know that our sufficiency and our confidence in Him can accomplish everything. We get into the second chapter, and we see it goes on, and those first three verses are just so, so important. And it's a theme throughout the rest of Hebrews, which is not to let the things slip which we have heard. And that's an encouragement to each one of us. This Word is alive. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Word. He was flesh and dwelt among us. And this Word, by the grace of God, needs to be heeded to, as it says there. And again, we'll go back to this. And in the third verse, it goes on to say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And again, we can look at the elementary part of that, which is we do need to be saved. People do need to come to a knowledge of the Lord as their Savior, or there's going to be a price to pay that we can't even imagine. It hasn't entered into our hearts or minds or thoughts of what God has prepared for them that love Him. But I'll tell you what, for those that have denied Him, it hasn't entered into their minds or thoughts what's been prepared for them. It's not hell. It's called a lake of fire. And it's been prepared. And just to think of that is an awesome thought. But the furtherance of that thought and the epitome of that is the complete salvation. It's the complete sanctification. It's that we wouldn't neglect, that we would hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the joy that Christ has set before us, that we may win him. And so wonderful that we can see this throughout this book and how the Holy Spirit can reveal this to us. Verses 5 through 8, we touched on last week. We see that Christ and God visited amongst themselves ages in beginning. We can't even fathom that he so loved us that he sent his son. He did have an awesome creation in man, and Adam was an awesome creation. We are wonderfully made. But yet, Adam couldn't get it done. We couldn't get it done. He fell into sin, and that was the creation. He wanted to put everything under him with the creation that he had. But in the ninth verse, the way that is going to be completed and everything is going to be completed in, but we see Jesus. Isn't that so precious? What if we didn't see Jesus? I just thought of that in my office as I was going over this before coming out here. Lord, if I never saw you, what if we would have missed that? And then missing the depths of the Scripture. I just am so thankful that we see. And you know how we see him. It's faith. It's by faith. And hallelujah, when we share the Scriptures, when we study his word, when we hear his word, we see more of him, don't we? We see less of the world. We see less of our problems. We see less of the things that can bog us down as far as this life is concerned. But that which is done for Christ is what we're after. That is the eternal that we are seeking by the grace of God. So he tasted death for every man. And actually, we'll start in the ninth verse and we'll start reading because we left, I think, in the 14th verse last week. So it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And again, brought out last week how even Christ, what he did, how he was motivated, how he was empowered, was by the grace of God. That same grace that empowers us to grow in him. And I was thinking how the Lord, when he left, when he was telling those disciples, the greater things that you'll do, greater things that will happen than you've even seen me do. What grace can work in our lives. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the magnificent wonder of everything. Hallelujah. For it became him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's for us too. If we will allow Christ to work in us, we will suffer with Christ. We don't have to try to do it. And by the grace of God, we'll reign with him, won't we? Joint heirs, if so be that you suffer with me. Hallelujah. And you know, if you've gone on with the Lord for any amount of time, it's his faithfulness. And I believe the Lord's working a sermon on his faithfulness to us. And I think when we really start understanding faith, it's his grace that gives us that. The Word of God tells us that. But it's his faithfulness. He abides faithful. Not us. And when we understand and we can see that, then we can go on with him. That it's completed, that it's finished, that it's perfect in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But he's the captain of this salvation. And it was perfect through the suffering. 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And don't you be ashamed to call him brethren. Hallelujah. Anyone that's not ashamed of him, he is not ashamed of. And he came to save that which was lost, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Let that speak to us. I believe there's so much being said in that verse. And he's going to declare our name by the grace of God. If we can be in that company by his grace, a people for His name's sake. He's going to make them know that He loved us. He's going to cause them to come and know that He loved us. We may not think we're much in this world, but that's okay with me. I'm starting to see that more and more, thank God. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ speaking of us. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And again, that's Paul speaking of the trust of the saints that he had in shepherding. So here we go in 14 tonight. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And in reading that, I had to think how ironic that is. Because you think of all the ways somebody conquers anyone, whether it's in war or a fight or something like that, the victor is usually always standing over, you know, the one that's been defeated. But how appropriate and how anti-man and how anti our mind that in death was the victory. In death was the victory. You would think when somebody dies, well, that was it. It's like our precious pastor, I just thought, in death was his true victory. It wasn't death, it was his sleep, and to be absent from the bodies, to be present with Christ. He just started living at that time. Hallelujah. So my precious uncle came in and gave me the tape of what he was talking about there again, face to face. Hallelujah. See, we're still in that beholding just that darkly right now, that it's clouded. It's through that glass darkly. He's doing face to face. Praise God. But that through death, he sees that. He took on the same nature that had sinned. He did. But he brought that nature to a state of hope because he was the perfect one. He paid it all on the cross in death. And as God, and we pointed this out on Easter Sunday, and the Lord really had me thinking about that, but as God, he could not die. Did you know that? He had to become man to die. And it says that in John 19:30. We'll just go over there real quick and read that verse. It's so precious. John 19:30. He had to be willing. He had to give himself to do this. It says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Isn't that precious again? That he gave his life. He had to allow himself to die. And notice that the devil now has no more power of death, does he? Mm-mm. It's done. And the devil was the first sinner. He started it off. He started off with a bang. He defied God. He denied him. And he was cast out with those that would follow him. But all for a purpose. Don't think it was chaos gone wild. There was a perfect plan in that. And as we've talked many times, as our pastor said many times, the devil fills a perfect place to take us to the height. He does. And you know it. Those temptations we have, the trials that we can have with one another. You think the enemy can get going pretty well in somebody's life, can't they? But it takes love to conquer that. And that's the love of God that brings us through those things. And hallelujah, that we know, again, that he's on that leash. He can only do what the Lord allows him to do. But I'll tell you what, you don't have God in your life, he'll destroy you. He'll destroy you. But through Christ, it says that Satan now has no more power over that. And those who have accepted him as their dear Savior, hallelujah, we have the victory over that. We have life. It is finished. And that is why, when the devil couldn't keep him off that cross, the devil tried so hard to say, you know, look at what I could do for you, Lord. And I could just think the Lord shaking his head. That he even talked to him was a wonder. But he did answer him with the word. He did fulfilled the will of God. So remember that in our life. Just think what Jesus could have done. He could have just, and he would have been gone. Devil, don't bug me. Nope, there was a reason behind that. Because the Lord God had his precious son following the word of God. Not in his haughtiness, not in his own self, but in the will of his Father did he defeat that. The same power by the grace of God that we have. I appreciate that Jesus became the seed of Abraham. I don't know what I would have done without it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. But the devil doesn't have much time, does he? That's why he's a roaring lion out there. That's why he's stealing. That's why he's killing. That's why he's destroying. And he's after Christians. Can't keep us out of heaven, but he can keep us from God's best. He can. And it's a choice every day. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. It's either of God or it's of mammon. And we need to understand that by the grace of God. It's still his faithfulness, but by the grace of God, Lord, allow me to believe you. Not just think, not just have it up here, but have it working effectually in my life. That's the word of God and its power is when it becomes so real and it just exudes from our life. So again, where does this bring us back to? What we read last week. How shall we escape if we neglect? Take heed to what you've heard unless you let it slip. Do you see where this is going back to? Do you see how this is talking about growing in grace? This is about winning him. There is a base of salvation in here, but this is talking about the ultimate sanctification. Aren't you thankful that we see this, sister? I'm so thrilled that we can see this by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Reading that verse, I just got to thinking how people, the whole thing now with science is to try to get my cells to keep living. If I live 20 more years, this one guy said I could live to be 200. Who would want to live to 200? I felt sorry for Methuselah. Enoch was ready to go, and thank God that he took him. Hallelujah. But why in the world? You know why? Because there's a fear of death. And you know what? If I were them, I'd be fearing death too. As you get closer with the Lord, and I'm not trying to get strange here with you, and I don't want to scare my kids, my wife, but I look forward to that day.
Amen.
I look forward to that day. Not that we would do anything rash to accelerate that day, but I want to see Jesus. I want to see this, but we see Jesus. I want to see him. I want to see this wonderful, precious Lamb, because that's what I'm going to see first. Hallelujah. And that everything was for me. We don't fear this stuff, do we? We don't fear death. It's got a little sting, a little bit. And I miss our pastor. I know we do. I know there's ones that delay shock. Let me tell you something. I mean, I loved my dad, and that went on for a long, long time, and it still goes on. You miss that presence. You miss that love. But you know what? I appreciated Precious Sue, and there's what she was trying to say. When you know where it is, it ain't lost. It isn't. I know exactly where it is. And it's more real than us looking at each other right now. That's forever. And I know it's there. And I know it's just but on the other side. Whatever that other side is, it's on the other side. And by the grace of God, he told me, you believe in me, son? You're on that other side. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to rest in. And that's why I don't have fear with it. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Heaven to all that are in Christ. That was truly a celebration. It should be a celebration by the grace of God for our loved ones that have gone on before us. It's a homegoing celebration. Funeral. And it wasn't in my mind, Lord willing, a few weeks ago or whenever that was. It was a celebration. Hallelujah. We do have hope, don't we? Praise God. For verily he took on him the nature of he took not on him the nature of angels. See, he could have taken on Christ could have taken on him a great, magnificent angel. And they are magnificent. They were very powerful. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. And, you know, you see, again, as I was thinking about this, you see all those pretty pictures of Jesus. It said there was nothing about him that we would be attracted to his appearance. See that long flowing hair, those beautiful looks. That wasn't Jesus. It wasn't. They didn't notice him for that. But there was something about those eyes. They look right through you. Tell you all about you. And all about you was, I love you. It wasn't what you did. It wasn't who you are. It's what you can be in me. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we looking at each other like that? It's been on my heart. I want to have the love of God in my life. See, that's going to finish us. That's going to finish us. Those Philadelphia saints and all that brotherly love, there was a reason he was talking about that. Thank you, Jesus. But it wasn't the nature of angels. He was always faithful to God. He fulfilled the word and his will. He took on the form of man for so many different things. So many wonderful things. To die on the cross and all. But what's so precious, what we're going to read about here in the next few verses, he did it so he could comfort us. I just think that's so amazing. I just love how it's going to bring it out here. It's so personal. It's so intimate. See, there was a chasm between God and man. See, God went in there. He was talking with Adam. He was showing him around. He was doing all those things and all that. Now, he knew. God knew. It wasn't like a surprise to God. Don't get me wrong. I heard some people say, could you mention how God felt? Sure, God felt. But God knew. He knew what man was going to do. He's omniscient. And he knew there was going to be failure. He knew there was going to be sin. That's why him and his son said, we got a perfect plan for this. But there was a chasm. When Adam sinned, that was it. There was a chasm that could not be forged anymore. Right? But Christ fully reconciled it. Jesus Christ fully reconciled it. He bonded that. He bonded us as sons and heirs with God. That we would be accepted in the Beloved. That we could enter into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that precious to know? That we can go right to the throne of grace. Could you imagine being in a religion that you had to go through somebody else to get there? I don't want that. That's respecter of persons. That's a lot of different things that I know aren't here. I want to go right, as my cousin said, he was so sweet visiting with this week. He says, I go right to the source. He was talking about some other things, but I appreciate about that boldness. He goes right to the source. And you know what? We go right to the source. Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him. And notice when we talked about last week in verse 10, for it became him. How it's becoming. I just see that so vividly. How I know that there's certain outfits that women wear. There's certain outfits that my wife might wear that I say, wow, that's really becoming on you. It just fits. It's just right. Well, it was becoming on Jesus that he would die for us. That he would be the captain of our salvation. And here it says that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. See, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves, would we, if he wasn't like that? Because I know by the grace of God, again, through the scriptures, that he was made like that so he could taste death, so he could understand my suffering, so he could understand the temptations, that he could understand the pain, the sorrow, every single thing that I would ever, ever sense, feel, whatever these words are. I know that my Lord has tasted that for me. And I know that by the grace of God, those stripes that were put all over him for me, that I'm healed with those. And that I have a solace in my Lord. And I have a comfort in him. That I can go to him and he knows me. He knows me. He knows exactly where I'm weak. He knows exactly to keep me in there sometimes and say, you rely on me, boy, and I'll show you a glory. Praise God. But it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, he was like us. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So he could truly comfort by becoming a man. He was touched with our feeling, our infirmities. In Hebrews 4, Lord willing, we'll get there. But 4:15 and 16, it says it right here. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Christ understands you. You know how sometimes we like to talk to other people and all that, and that's wonderful with brothers and sisters. Go talk to Jesus. I mean, get into that. Get used to it. People may think you're nuts. I know people think I'm nuts. But I talk to Jesus. I want to talk to him all day long. I want to tell him how I'm feeling. Sometimes I don't tell him probably in the right way. I say, Lord, what's going on here? I know I'm not supposed to be feeling this way. I know this isn't right. He's heard me say it many times before. Why'd you make me like this? And that's when I say, Lord, I don't want to tempt you. I'm sorry. But he knows. He knows. Jesus knows. And that's why we go to him and we can say, Lord, help me. But it says, but was in all points tempted like as us, as we are, yet without sin. There's the victory in Christ. I mean, if you ever wanted to know somebody that had the answers, isn't that where you usually try to go to somebody for an answer or for help or this? Well, he was perfect. He did it. Did it right. Got it all down. He knows everything. That's where we should be wanting to get the answer from, huh? Hallelujah. But let us, and this is what's so beautiful, and this is what he's telling us right here. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All the stripes are right there, guys. Those are all the stripes. I don't want to get caught up into that. We'll jump ahead too many chapters. Okay. So he knows how to deal with the temptation, the sorrows, the sickness, the pain. All so to be always ready to help, to give grace and mercy in time of need. What a compassionate and personal Savior. How awesome. Okay, let's go over to chapter 3. And I think tonight what we'll do is we'll probably just read the first 5 or 6 verses, because the 6th through the end of the chapter is just marvelous stuff. Well, it's all marvelous stuff. But we could be in that a while, but you pray for us and the Lord will get us through. But it's just so wonderful. So many things. And, you know, it is new every day. I'm so thankful. You know, Lord willing, will be 40 this year. I know that's nothing. To you guys, man, I'm an old guy. But somewhere in the middle here. But I was thinking again how our pastor right there, I think the week before he went home to be with the Lord, not even a week before, you know, he was talking about this psalm. He said, oh, I see the psalm. I didn't see this. And he was just getting all ready again. I want that spirit. You ever think that you sat in here and said, oh, I've heard Hebrews this mirror. Okay, I'm not here for you to hear me. We're here to hear the Lord. And you know what? When we seek him like that, the Holy Spirit is going to give us what we need to have. And we'll get it. We'll get it together. Hallelujah. But this chapter 3, let's read the first 6 verses. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, third chapter starts out that Christ is the son, and he's better than Moses, the servant. We saw that he was better than the angels. Now we're going to see that he is, and obviously it brought out that he is this the Son of God. He is the Messiah for these ones here, these Jews, and he is our Lord. But now we're going to bring out that he's even better than Moses, the servant. I think how precious that we didn't have to really go through this, did we? Did you ever think that Jesus wasn't better than Moses, the servant? I didn't. I'm thankful I didn't have to see that. I just knew it. Mount of Transfiguration. Those two went. Moses was on the side. Elijah's on the... Nope, we're not going to do that. It's just Jesus. And that's all we saw. Hallelujah. We know there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it's all in His Son. Isn't that precious? Okay. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Notice again, holy brethren. Paul is saying not just my brethren, but know who we are. We're the brethren of Christ. He is our brother. He's so much more than that, but it is something how our relationship is with Christ. I love him dearly. I know he's wooing us, wooing myself to be one with him. But there's times with that one with him, it's just like even a spouse or whatever it is. I need that brother. I need that type of help. I need the Father help sometimes too. You see what I'm saying? He's everything, isn't he? He's everything to us. There isn't anything that he is not to us. Sons of God. That's what he's calling you, man. You're a son of God. Know it. Live it. Don't just say it. Live the sonship. Hallelujah. Partakers of the grace that came from heaven. This is the glorious gospel of grace. We are partakers with that. Heirs of God, seated with Christ. The word consider. Consider, as it says there. Or realize who this Jesus is. Behold him. This is the creator of everything. Understand who this is. What, as Paul is saying, what graced us? What died for us? What saved us? What brings us on? What's carrying you through? It's not your faithfulness, it's His. The apostle. Notice that. In contrast, the apostle is Christ. In contrast with Moses, Moses was just an apostle of his day. He was a wonderful apostle of his day, but this is the apostle. Moses was a wonderful prophet and an apostle, but Jesus is God's son. He's better. Remember how we're talking the word better, 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 better? And this is no knock on Moses. Moses is a wonderful vessel. We're going to read about him in the Hebrews Hall of Fame chapter. It's awesome what he was able to be. In God, what God worked through him. But we're talking about the Son of God. Jesus, the high priest of the Old Testament. Yes, he was. Always has been. They were saved by grace back then. A lot of people get that mixed up. Well, you know, they were pretty good people back there. They were better than us, and that's what got them to heaven. I wonder what that sacrifice was for every year. They were sinners. They were murmurers. And don't think that you're not a murmurer either. You know what I'm getting at. We would have been right there with those Hebrew children probably 3 days after we saw that sea part. Oh, I'm dying of thirst. He brings us out of this and this and this and it's glorious. And then wham, that trial of the day. Oh, Lord, how did you forsake me? You know what I'm saying. Amen. I was going to say, and it is true, I am so glad I'm human, because now I understand. All right. But Jesus, the high priest of the Old Testament, the apostle of the New, everything is in him, for him, do him, put under him. Hallelujah. Moses was the king of Jeshurun in Deuteronomy 33:5. But Jesus is the King of Kings. Moses delivered the Jews out of Egypt, but Christ delivers his people from an eternal damnation. It's quite a deliverance. Hallelujah. We believe in him. We have the everlasting life. He is the subject of the faith that we profess. We confess Jesus as our Lord. Moses was never that. Verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. The chief quality of an apostle is to be faithful. There's a trust that's committed unto him by God. That's us. Did you know that? Do you know what you've been given? Do you know the responsibility that we really do have? It's a privilege to take it. But we don't have to. We don't. But Christ put us into this world to be a light. A light unto him. Unto this world. That people would see Jesus in us. That we would be kind and tender-hearted. The love of God would show forth in our lives. About turning the other cheek. Lots of different things like that. Okay? I know I'm just talking to me. But the trust that was committed unto him. John 9:4. Turn there with me. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's quite a commitment. Are we walking in the light? Amen. There's good works that he foreordained in our lives. Those are good works that he performs in us. But by the grace of God, we need to walk in the light. We need to believe. We need to walk in him in order to have the inheritance. Don't neglect. Don't let those things slip. It's not holding on to salvation. He holds us. But it's believing. It's yielding. It's boldness before the throne, isn't it? Knowing we're a needy people, that's where he keeps us strong. Praise God. Always fulfilled with the word. And the house here that he's talking about in Moses was faithful in all his house is a building, and it means the children of God. And he was faithful, the most faithful of all those children of God at that time. But these are lively stones, as it's called throughout the Word of God, that are built upon Jesus, the foundation. Jesus is the rock. Moses was faithful as an apostle, and he never really withheld any word that was given unto him for the people. Think about what a faithful servant he was. But Jesus, hallelujah. Verse 3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Christ is superior to Moses. He built Moses. He did. Formed him. Made him. Hallelujah. Moses was but a member in the house. Christ is the builder of God's house. Ephesians 2:10. Very familiar portion of Scripture. I'll read there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. His workmanship. That's so precious. I was just reading some passages by Brother Copley this last week. And it was talking about building upon Jesus. And he was talking about how the Lord produces the precious, the gold, the silver, but how man's work is the wood, hay, and stubble. And wood, hay, and stubble can be great piles. And let me emphasize piles. But it can be big and huge and all of these different things. And that's what really man looks at, isn't it? It's always an I thing. But they go big and huge in wood, hay, and stubble, and it's burnt. It burns up. But the precious things, just those bits, that's what the Lord is after in our lives. And I just so thrill again that it's of Him, His workmanship. Verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Christ is not only the builder of the house, but of everything. He's not only the mediator, He's God. This is why He has the greatest glory. It's His. Hebrews 11:3, it says that He framed the universe. John 1:3, it says that all things were made by Him. It's all in Christ. It's amazing how many times He repeats this just in these first three chapters, isn't it? We must be weak, feeble, and keep forgetting this for some reason. Space of 3 years, Paul just said over and over and over, day and night. There's a reason for it. Encouraging one another. Praise God. Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses, again, a sweet and faithful servant, but over a few things appointed. That God appointed him. But just think of those few things. What a great reward. See, when we take our place in the body where He wants us to be, not where we think we should be, not what we think we should be doing, there's glory in that. We don't understand it. You may think you have a great talent for something. You may think you have a great need to be doing something. Do what God wants you to do. You be the vessel, like we're talking about Sunday. And I want you to know the Lord just gave me that. That vessel just sits there. It just sits there. Don't do nothing. I just sit there. Wait on God. Know that I'm God. Know that I'm God. Okay, I'm just the vessel. I'm just the vessel. And then He comes and gets you. And He pours in what He wants. And then He goes and uses it and He pours it where He wants to pour it. And all. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. That's what I want to be. I want to be the vessel that's pleasing to You that You use. Get me out of the way. Okay, I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to be what I think You want me to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I want to say what God wants me to say. And I want to come up here in the boldness of the Spirit and say, Lord, fill me. You're going to give what You're going to give. And I got to get rid of Jess right there. And hopefully even before I got there. But the enemy battles, flesh battles. But the Lord knows. Hallelujah. But that's what we're trusting in, is Jesus Christ. So, He was faithful in all things appointed by God and had a great testimony. Deuteronomy 34:10. Just to read a little bit about Moses. Deuteronomy 34:10. You might just mark this. There's a passage I'd like to read, Lord willing, before we go out of here, too, to have you thinking on for next week. But it said 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. That Moses was a pretty neat guy. He had a pretty great calling. But know what you're being called to. There's a difference between those 24 elders and those four living creatures. A lot of people might say, well, you know, who's this or whatever. No. I want to be and I want to see those four living creatures because they're in the midst. They're seated in there. And there's a difference. And there's a glory that He's going to give. And we want to be there. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. Verse 6. But Christ is a son over His own house. Whose house are we? Now here's where everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but many that are weak in faith start getting confused. And this is not confusing. By the grace of God, it's not going to be confusing here because there's a simplicity in the gospel. And we're going to see by the grace of God that this is talking about growing in grace. This is our reward right here, guys. This is the symbol, this is the imagery of going into the promised land. This isn't going just into heaven, man. This is sitting right there with Jesus. Right next to Him, ruling and reigning with Him. Praise God. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Christ is no servant. He's the son. He's the spiritual house of all believers. And what we're going to read here in these next verses through the end of this sixth chapter, I'll just introduce this, and then I do believe we'll have time to read this one passage. It's quite a passage we'll read in Numbers. But this magnifies the slip and the neglect. This really is going to magnify that. If you let it slip, if you do not hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, you will not have God's best. You won't. It's His faithfulness still. But there's an appreciation. There's a group that loves His appearing. There's a group that's watching and waiting for Him. That's singing this sweet song to Him that says, I want you to be a people for my name's sake. Amen? See that? That's precious stuff. Copley said about these next verses we're going to read, this is not a reference to salvation, but growth in grace. And it is, okay? I want us to turn to Numbers 13. And this will be the last we read, Lord willing, tonight. And we're going to read through parts of a couple chapters here. But Numbers 13. The Lord brought this portion of Scripture, and this really is the provocation in the wilderness. This is when they rose up and they said, we're not going in there. We're not going to take this. There's giants in the land. You know, this is that wonderful passage. Let that speak to us in so many different ways. I mean, we're going to triumph in believing, or we're going to fail in unbelief. That's it. One way or the other. Okay? By the grace of God, we want to believe. He's a mighty God. And all things are possible in Him. We're more than conquerors through Him, no matter what it looks like. And there's times it looks really bad. And there's times it looks like there is absolutely no way, Lord, that I can get through that. And I will never get through that. But He can get through anything. And He can bring me through anything. And more importantly, that I'm learning is He can keep me in anything. Because sometimes He just don't let you out of there. Sometimes that thorn in Paul's flesh, he didn't let it out of there. And I get that away from you, you'd be too magnified. You'd be too glorified. You think you're too something. We don't understand this one. I mean, we don't think that way. Man can't get there. Okay? It's not cruel. It really isn't. There's a purpose. And the purpose is that you would mature and grow up into Him. He wants us to be all-pleasing. He wants us to be that mature woman. Hallelujah, that Shulamite woman. But in Numbers 13, again, this is, and we'll start in the 26th verse. This is Moses in the 13th verse is commanded of the Lord. And they're going to send the one person from each one of the tribes. These are the spies that he's going to send in to Canaan, into the promised land, to go look at it, to go see, you know, is this, you know, such a good place. You know, go tell us about this thing. Okay? And I think this will speak to you. Lord willing, I encourage you to read through the sixth verse through the end of the third chapter. And I think this will all even come out. Lord will reveal that to you even over the week. I'm sure most of you know what it is anyways, but it'll just encourage you that much more. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They brought it back. It's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. Look at all of them telling this. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. You can just see these guys just saying, blah, 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 blah. You ever get like that with the Lord? Oh, Lord, you know, and it's going to blow up. Unbelief blows up, right? Amen. And then he just kind of sits me down as I'm sitting there screaming. You know, I have these, I shouldn't even go there. This thing got really strange. But I just get these interesting visions of really what I am sometimes to Christ as he loves me. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Hallelujah. And said, let us go up at once. Not just go up, but go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. There's unbelief. Sin that so easily besets us. We're going to read about that later on in Hebrews. It over and over and over. Don't let it slip. Don't neglect it. Belief. It'll get you through. His faithfulness. Praise God. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants of the son of Anak, which come of the giants. They're giants of giants and giants. And we're in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I just, you could imagine what's going on here. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And that's somehow they just stirred them all into a frenzy of unbelief. Oh, we love to murmur together. Oh, and they did this all the time. This is the provocation. They're not going to enter in, are they? And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord, it's just like, Lord, you've just strung us out here. You're just so cruel. You've just tortured us. You gave us hope and you let us down. Surprised, well, we won't read that part, but really, Moses had to tame God down. He was going to zap him right there. He would have turned to Jesus and said, well, we're going to have another plan. It's all over, huh? No, didn't happen that way, thank the Lord. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? See, they're so compassionate, aren't they? See all their goodness and their good thoughts. It's just wickedness to God. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Oh, and they had a great idea. And they said one to another, well, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Trust him. Believe. He didn't bring us out here to die. He didn't bring us out here. He didn't bring us through all this to just stop. This is us. Isn't this precious? You just say, Lord, now I understand these things. I see it. Thank you for encouraging all of us. Hallelujah. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared. See, the Lord even had to stop them from killing them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. I won't keep reading through here, but obviously this is where I say Moses goes back and you can thank Moses because we probably wouldn't be here at this time. He would have destroyed everyone. So who knows? But jump down to the. And I appreciate your patience here, but I believe the Lord really wants us to read this tonight. 22nd verse, because all those men which have seen my glory, this is the Lord speaking, and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. I want to stop there for just 1 second. There's a precious note if you have a Schofield Bible. Brother Schofield saw some wonderful things. Didn't necessarily see the bride of Christ, but this is a wonderful footnote if you have it at the bottom. It says Kadesh Barnea is by the unbelief of Israel there and the divine comment of that unbelief. invested with immense spiritual significance. And it does have spiritual significance, great spiritual significance. It says the people had faith. Think of this. Those Hebrews had faith to sprinkle the blood of atonement. Remember when they did that on the door? Isn't that precious? They had the faith to do that and to come out of Egypt, the world, but had not faith to enter their Canaan rest. This is what this is all about. This is about entering into the rest. This is the perfect place, the peace. Hallelujah. See, when you don't have unbelief, even in the natural surface of it, when you're in unbelief, you're never going to have peace. Therefore, though they were redeemed, they were a 40 years grief to Jehovah. Getting back to the 24th verse, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, another spirit, that's faith, folks. Hallelujah. That is faith. That was he. They had another spirit, and that was wickedness because it was unbelief. But he had faith and hath followed me fully. See, don't we want to be like that? We want to fully follow him. Hallelujah. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And then it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmureth against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward. So 20 and up, they weren't going to go in, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said would be prey, remember how they were goodness? They said, oh, we're going to have our wives killed, and then our children are going to be the prey. They thought they were, you know, being good in themselves. Them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Last verse I just would like us to turn over to the 34th chapter in the 4th verse. The Lord will, I think, have us